Hello, thank you everyone, and thank you to the organizers of this very important event. I'm very happy and grateful to be here to speak with you all about this important topic of teen mental health and the importance of well-being. Now, I don't think I need to go over the statistics around mental health and stress. We've been hearing more and more about it, especially when it comes to the teen years. We have, you know, Bell Let's Talk, the campaign that goes on every year, and Markham Stouffville Hospital has its own campaign for youth mental health. And the government's talking about it, and it's one of the York Region School Board's main focus, you know, one of the three M's that they focus on. And so, but just to share, like, just a little bit of stats so that we're working from the same field. The stats to date have been that 1 in 5 youth will experience a significant mental health challenge before 18 years of age. Everybody's pretty familiar with that. Well, the last research study based on a survey that's done every few years by the Centre for Addiction and Mental Health in Toronto, CAMH, they do a survey of Ontario grade 7 to 12 students every few years. The last survey from 2016 showed that 1 in 3 students report moderate to significant mental health concerns. So this is very concerning, of course. And you know, what we know and understand is that there are many contributors to this increase. It's not a single factor. Certainly there's a lot more awareness and you know, even in media culture, right, about mental health. And also the world is very different and much more complex now than it was even 5 years ago. And it's only going to continue being that way. The busyness that we have in our days full of activities and all the stimulation that kids and teens face in the day, you know, technology, social media presence, have contributed to some of these challenges. Kids and teens and even adults feel a lot more disconnected and isolated than before. There's also the pressure, increasing pressure that teens feel to perform or succeed, right, or achieve. People, and I would, you know, say not just in urban cities, but also particularly in suburbia maybe, you know, sometimes living in their own bubbles, right? What I mean by that is that in suburbia particularly, the culture is you live in these, you know, cookie cutter concrete homes, and you drive everywhere. You basically shuttle around activity to activity and have very little time for interaction and physical connectivity, more than technological connectivity. And we're not born to be isolated. You know, we're born to be social creatures. We're born as social creatures. There's also the contribution of pollution and toxins in the environment we live in, the physical environment, as I mentioned, growing gap between the rich and the poor, and the less and less interaction with nature. So these are just some of the identified factors that contribute to this increase of mental health problems, which I'm not sure if it's really difficult to determine if it's a real increase or whether there's growing awareness about it. As a result, more people are identifying and feeling these things. But I do think that there may actually be a real increase in how many people feel disconnected, and this problem of isolation and disconnection is growing and leading people to feel isolated and like they don't belong. You know, in the same CAMH survey, over 1/3 of students identified that they don't feel a sense of belonging and acceptance, or very seldom do. The problem is not just here, but in all countries, especially developed countries. The United Kingdom even hired the world's first minister to address the growing problem of loneliness in the country. As a mental health professional who has worked in community mental health as well as in schools as a school psychologist, you know, often people don't come to see me until things have gotten bad. That's one of the things that I don't necessarily love about my job, but at the same time, I love working with people to help them feel better. But I always say that you don't have to have a mental health condition before you come and see someone who's a psychologist or a mental health professional, right? You can, you know, everybody can use help and support sometimes, right? And it can help to just get some guidance, get some perspective from a professional, you know, that is not intertwined in your life, and get some resources, right? Reminders of your own inner resources, perhaps. Even if you're experiencing some challenges, some challenging, difficult time in your life, whether or not you have a diagnosed mental health problem. You know, however, I did, you know, I have master's in public health and epidemiology before I pursued training to become a psychologist. So I've always been very passionate about prevention and early intervention, which is one reason why I love working with children and youth. I also started practicing and teaching mindfulness in my work, because mindfulness has helped me through my own challenges with mental health and trauma, but also because I really have seen the strong impact that this mindfulness has on supporting well-being of people and helping them to feel more confident and happy. And I truly have come to believe that mindfulness is what is needed to create peace and healing in the world, one person and one community at a time. And I am committed to doing my part, you know, my small part in this journey. But this won't just happen overnight. It will take practice many times to make this a guiding principle for how to live your life. It's like strength training, a muscle, you know, a way of being and a way of coping with things. That's more helpful, more effective, and leaves us feeling more connected. So what does well-being even mean? Okay, let's just pause for a moment and consider for yourself. What does well-being mean to you? And can we be unwell, perhaps, and still have, quote, well-being? What do you think about that? Just consider, can we be unwell and still have well-being? I think I've certainly met and worked with a lot of people that I would say identify as being unwell but still have a sense of well-being. So what does it mean to you, you know? One of the things we know is that in the busy worlds and days today, the mind is constantly on overdrive with a constant need for stimulation, doing things, immediate gratification, needing something and getting it, you know, thinking that it's going to make us happy. And this constant drive for achievement and success and perform, we're not getting enough slowing down time to reset our brains and to connect with ourselves. You know, kids and adults need daily quiet, slowing down time in their fast-paced, overstimulated days in order to connect with themselves, allow their brains to reset, and to feel calm inside. When kids get this, they feel more connected to others, okay? But they also feel more empowered to be able to face whatever life brings and, you know, and feel a stronger sense of self. More confident, have higher self-esteem. And this is not just my opinion. This is what more and more studies and practitioners are showing, that we need this. And one of the things, you know, with having, you know, working, and mostly I work with kids and teens, but I also do work with adults, is that the way it all ties to neurodevelopment. So kids and teens, their brain development is still ongoing. Well, what we know is brain development is ongoing all throughout our life, and that changes are, you know, able to create shifts in our brains you know, via this process of neuroplasticity, right? So no matter what age, we can learn new things and we can create new new connections between neurons and new synapses, right? But with kids and teens in particular, with all this overdrive and this constant do, you know, let's fulfill my all my needs, you know, like me, do, perform, and be constantly stimulated, that it's actually not necessarily helping. This is the thinking, not may not be helping with the brain development, because you know, we have to meet people where they are at and be able to help them regulate. So when the world is moving much faster than my brain can keep up, you know, as a child or as a teen, then I feel stress. I experience anxiety. I experience low self-esteem, low self-confidence, you know. I experience a sense of powerlessness or helplessness. this is another reason why kids, particularly kids, but you know, begins with us adults, because we're the ones raising the kids in at home and in the school environments, need daily quiet, slowing down time in their days. And a friend and I were talking about this front weekend storm, this past weekend's ice storm, as it felt like it was, you know, hibernation weekend, right? That maybe it was a sign or a gift from the universe to take a pause and to slow down. You know, why do we have to live life on a treadmill or on a race? I also heard this from several other people, that it actually forced them to spend more time with their loved ones. So it's so interesting that weather conditions have to force us to do that. This, all these factors are a big reason why there's a growing awareness of what are being called as the new ABCs in education and learning. Okay, so we think like the ABCs of, you know, literacy are still really important, but the new ABCs that support well-being are attention, balance, and there's actually two C's, connectivity and compassion. So it's ABCCs actually. Okay, I'm going to talk about each of these in a few minutes. But, you know, we can't expect all the change to happen in schools, because schools are simply a mirror of society and the community in which they're nested. Okay, so let's not forget that. Schools are always adapting to society. It simply mirrors the community in which it's in. And schools are always adapting and to the needs of the community in which they are nested. I also believe that, you know, and we know that schools are the hub of a community. Therefore, to address any issue in the community, what we know is that for long-term change, it needs a community-based approach. That we have to have a sense of what is called collective impact. Okay, that the sense that our actions and words impact one another, other people, and others also impact us, right? So tonight's event is an example of this, to bring community together, to connect, and to find long-term solutions or ideas to support teens and our own, hopefully, mental health and well-being. Because we know that when you support your own well-being, your kids learn to do this for themselves. So what is needed to support well-being and long-term happiness, as well as what we call resilience, having strength and being able to navigate the ups and the downs and the challenges in life? What we are understanding is that, number one, it's mindfulness, because mindfulness is simply about awareness and living consciously. It's not about, you know, meditating necessarily, right? But it is helping us to pause and slow down to understand ourselves better and what really matters and is important to us. It forces us to slow down and take a long pause once in a while to turn inward. oh my goodness, why should we turn inward? Why would I ever think about turning inward? You know, rather, it's much more easy to be always looking on the outside and seeking guidance from the outside rather than looking in and developing trust in myself. Always easy to seek reinforcement, pleasure, stimulation from the outside. Where I feel validated from the outside, right? And not from the inside out. People need time to pause and go inward. This is why. Because we're not getting it, and we need this as human beings. Because a genuine sense, like an authentic connection with others, gets stronger when we can take time to go inward and connect with ourselves. And when we're not feeling afraid to do so. And, you know, there's more and more, growing understanding that anxiety may in part be rising and be at the epidemic levels that it is at today because we're not getting this time. You know, we've lost our ability to trust in ourselves. And I see this in my clients and their families. You know, we've lost our ability to trust in ourselves and in the changing nature of life and trying to exert control wherever we can to, you know, avoid facing uncertainty and the discomfort of the present moment. We can't avoid it forever. We have to learn to be comfortable with the uncomfortable. We have to learn to turn inward to, you know and understand what we might need. This is why the A of the new ABCs is called attention. Because in mindfulness, what we're actually doing is trying to train our minds to pay attention in a different way to what is happening right now so that we understand what is important and what would help us in the moment. The only way we can do that is by actually pausing and slowing down once in a while. So like I mentioned, kids and teens need this now more than ever. Mindfulness is a practice that teaches teens how to be with the up and the down periods in life without feeling overwhelmed and swept away by it, so they feel more empowered to be able to do something about it and to become more conscious in their day-to-day. So it's also providing us with a more effective way to manage our stress and prevent it from getting worse. And more studies are showing that in order to be quote-unquote successful, right, that our definitions of success are changing. More than achievement, kids need to learn skills. This is emotional intelligence work, you know, that is showing, like in the workplace. Kids need to learn the skills to cope with challenges, have flexibility in thinking and problem solving, and work effectively with others, right? These are the skills that are more important than achievement. So mindfulness helps with all of these and more. Number two, okay, so we talked about attention. The B, it's balance and self-care, okay, which also involves tapping into ourselves to know what we need. Okay? Balance involves self-care. We can't do that if we are running life on a treadmill. We know that families need quiet and playtime together and time to be silly together, you know, to support each youth's well-being. If having balance, of course, is forever a work in progress. But we can take small steps. You know, we can periodically be checking in with ourselves and with our values to know if we're living in line with our values and what's important to us. We need a sense of internal balance. And what does that even mean? What might you need to support internal balance? Can we, you know, if you leave here today, take a few minutes and consider that? You know, by being mindful of what we feed ourselves and our bodies and what we feed the senses. We also need nature connection to support balance because we're not designed to live in concrete jungles and not receive any nourishment from the environment. And there's plenty of research showing the benefits of nature in decreasing mental health problems, blood pressure, lowering stress, and increasing a sense of connectedness. And number three, the C's. It's really about connection and compassion. We need to sometimes think beyond our needs. and it's not probably what we want to hear. But, you know, our needs aren't the only ones that matter all the time. Sometimes we may forget this. I know sometimes I forget that. And I constantly have to remember it. Mindfulness helps me remember this. A true sense of community happens when we realize the interdependence of each other. And that despite, you know, living in these concrete jungles and going, you know, from one appointment to another, home to work and back, school to home, to dance practice, to Kumon, one activity doing after another doing, we are part of shaping the community and the world. And we literally have become human doings more than human beings. The changes we want to see don't just happen. They begin one person and one community at a time. And the person, one person at a time, creates ripples in each person's circles and in our own communities. And ultimately, that's how changes happen in the world. There are amazing examples from around the world that I have come across and I have encountered in my work with individuals and communities and families that of what communities have done to create the changes they wish to see, one person at a time. You know, we can't take it for granted. If you're interested to read about some of these community examples, I highly recommend this amazing website called communityresiliencecookbook.org. So check it out. We need to realize and never forget that everyone around us is carrying an invisible backpack. Just because we can't see it doesn't mean it's not there. Some people might be more loaded than others. Okay? And I teach this to kids, teens, adults, all ages, because we can never get enough reminders of that, right? Sometimes we're so focused on our own needs in the moment that we forget other people have needs as well. And everyone is just doing the best that they can in any given moment with the resources they have. So if we can pause, create pauses in our days to recognize and remember these things, it helps us have compassion for ourselves and for others and realize our interconnectedness. We also need to keep in mind the actions we can each take to protect the earth, not just on Earth Day, but every day, right? The earth, protecting the earth that supports us. But compassion always first begins with how we treat ourselves. Okay, this is especially true when the going gets rough. So as adults and parents, okay, it's not just about speaking about this, it's about walking the talk, right? It's about making time for slowing down each day and for togetherness, spending time together, cherishing the little things and the little moments together, not doing more things, but just cherishing the moments, the little moments. And sometimes doing nothing at all. You know, having doing nothing time in a day, just being together. It's in order to give our brains a chance to reset and balance in order to understand what's really important to us and what really matters. And it's also about connecting with nature, making time for that. And because, you know, we know that no one will protect, this is a quote by David Attenborough, no one will protect what they haven't experienced themselves. And that goes to say about trying to make time for nature connection. And it's also about remembering that addressing community needs together also benefits individual needs greatly and creates a sense of connection and belonging for all and helps to create the world that we want to grow up in and that we want our kids to grow up in. It helps secure this for the next generation, and not just the next generation, but the next seven generations. This is, you know, a philosophy, guiding principle of many of the Aboriginal, you know, cultures and communities, that they believe that all actions that we take, every action impacts seven generations. Not that we can be perfect human beings and be mindful of all our actions, but every little step that we take goes a long way. And when you've seen and witnessed the impact which I did when living on Vancouver Island, living and working in Vancouver Island with First Nations communities, having seen the 7-generational impact of residential schools and colonization, of 7 generations living together on a reserve, it's pretty powerful. And then you really believe it. It's not just an idea. It's an actual experiential, lived experience of many people. Bit by bit, small action by small action, one small pause at a time, we strengthen our resilience and support well-being. That's how changes happen. And they take time. There's no shortcuts, unfortunately. So as you can see, the challenge of increasing mental health problems and the sense of isolation is a problem with multiple factors, multiple contributors. Therefore, there's no simple answer, no one simple answer or solution. It needs multiple actions by each and every one of us. And it needs a willingness to recognize what's most important in your life and in any given moment. And all changes begin with small steps. So I encourage you to think about what small step will you try after you leave here today. And in closing, I want to leave you with something I learned from an elder of one of the First Nations communities I worked with when living in Victoria, BC. He said, "We always say it takes a village to raise a child, but actually it takes a village to raise a village. It's important that we take care of our children, but it's also important that we see ourselves as no different from the child. We were all children once." Thank you very much.